forever. Dog.
This is the couch, guys, and I love me. She's watched the show like a lot of times. Who is gonna be chief of surgery? Shonda Rhimes wrote the show and it is really, really good.
Hi, welcome to Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. Thank you so much for listening. I know that we had a week off because of work, for me, my work, and I'm sorry that I wasn't there for you with Grey's stuff, but I am so happy to be back with this episode with Chris Murphy. We talk about Preston Burke and just about how he is as a person, what he means as kind of an icon of intelligence and kind of coldness, but also how he's very hot and how he's good at surgery and what he means to Chris specifically. It's so much fun. It was so cool to like dig up old Burke clips because, as Chris points out in this episode, he gets glossed over too often and he really is an icon in the Grey's universe. But we also talk about how that kind of that tension between who Burke is as a character and who Isaiah Washington is as a person, how that's kind of challenging as well. So I hope that you listen. I hope that you enjoy. And as always, if you don't mind giving this podcast 5 stars, leaving a nice review, that always does mean a lot. I feel like I'm talking really fast and I haven't even had caffeine yet, but it's fine. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and let's get into the episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. We didn't have an episode last week because I was in Washington, D.C. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you haven't, in which case, maybe go see a doctor. And speaking of doctors, here we are on this podcast about all the surgeons we know, love, hate, fear, are concerned for, hope die, want to live forever, wish they'd come back, and feel that we're friends with. Is that worthwhile to say in the 7th episode of this podcast? Anyway, I'm so excited to have here a comedian from the New York scene, but he's also a theater performer. He did his senior thesis on Grey's Anatomy. So you better believe that this conversation is going to get academic, baby. Please welcome Chris Murphy.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. That is so embarrassing and yet so true.
I mean, I want to ask you in general what your Grey's journey is, but you definitely just are going to have to explain what specifically your thesis was on and what major was that for?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Shonda. I majored in Shonda Rhimes. Oh, my God. I wish.
That will be a major in like 50 years.
Oh, 100%. And I will teach all the classes.
It'll be like, how do you produce and write and just create your own language?
Yeah, be an absolute girl boss.
Yes, hashtag girl boss.
Yes, girl boss. And work with Britney Spears.
So
remember
true.
Crossroads? Who could forget?
Who could?
Oh, my God.
Princess Diaries 2.
Oh,
another
God.
Classique.
Literally, absolutely classic. But yeah, my Grey's journey, where did it start? Where did it begin? Grey's came out in 2004. I do remember that from my thesis. And it was like right when I was in middle school, like junior high. And this is insane, but like my whole family used to like sit down and like watch the show. Like our two shows that we watched were Grey's Anatomy and Desperate Housewives, which I think made me gay. Like that's like sort of like how it began, the beginning and the end of that. Like,
I love an ABC family.
We were an ABC family. We were not NBC. CBS, too racist for us. Sorry, can I say that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You definitely can.
I've definitely said it, so I can't take it back. But yeah, we were an ABC family through and through. And so it was like me and my sister and my parents, we would just get in front of the TV and on Thursdays and Sundays and just, you know, crush Grey's Anatomy and Desperate Housewives. And then I went to boarding school, and that was tricky.
Because you went to boarding school?
I went to boarding school.
Where? Where was
in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, to a school called the Lawrenceville School.
Wow. And wait, and where are you?
I'm from Jersey too. I tried to get out of Jersey like a lot. Boarding school, college, didn't really work, but we finally gotten out. We're in New York.
Yes, you've made it.
Finally made it. Oh my God.
New Jersey is a memory.
Absolutely. It's in the distant
past.
What
even is it? Where could I find it?
I don't recall. I have nothing to tell you. I don't remember.
Okay, that's crazy. So you went to a boarding school.
I did. And it got harder to continue my Gray's journey because I lived with 40 ostensibly straight boys for 4 years.
In theory, yes.
In theory, you know, not in practice, but...
So it wasn't access to a TV. It was like the social and cultural capital of what you'd like to watch.
Absolutely. Because there was access to a TV, but we spent most of the time watching hockey or basketball or playing Halo. So I sort of had
There's no surgery in that at all.
No.
And there's no sex at work.
There's no
and
sex at work.
Hockey?
There's Christina Yang playing hockey. So why am I interested? I'm not. So I had to sort of watch it secretly on like abc.com, you know, sort of like that was the beginning of being able to watch it like on the internet. So that was something that I would do sort of in private in my boarding school dorm room. And then I sort of re-came out of the closet in college as a Shonda Rhimes fan and was like celebrated for it.
Yeah.
Because that was when Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder came out.
Yes.
Right? That was...
The universe was expanded.
It was expanding rapidly.
Yes.
Rapidly expanding.
Too fast? Who can say?
I think they really put their foot on the gas pedal there. Might have bit off more than they could chew. But I sort of found a community in college of, you know, friends. We used to like all get like a bunch of red wine and watch Scandal and sometimes Grey's, but mostly Scandal, like every week. And we'd have these Scandy watch parties. And it was just like the most incredible thing. And we'd watched every episode. It was our soap opera. It was our culture. It was our cultural touchstone. It was so important. And then I was an English major. I went to Princeton. I was an English major and I hated to read books.
I love that you've buried Princeton and being like, yeah, I went to school in New Jersey.
Oh my God.
I went to college in New Jersey. Blah. It's like, it was Princeton.
I am a cliche. Oh, I'm the worst type of person, but it is true. And it was, I had a great time, but I did hate to read books. And that was sort of a difficult thing to get around as an English major.
Yeah.
And
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was sort of hard, but we all had to write like a senior thesis. And I was like, okay, well, what if instead of reading a book, I write about Shonda Rhimes?
And it's that kind of innovation you're going to find in the Ivy League.
Exactly. They don't teach you that at just any school, right? You don't get that anywhere.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it was like...
I think that you can treat Grey's Anatomy as a text.
It is a text. And it's also a foundational text at that.
Yes, okay? That's true.
A foundational text of doctor shows, of, you know, sex at the workplace, of diversity. And that was sort of my big focus.
Yeah.
And there was this crazy article. I don't know if you remember this. Sort of rocked my world. Alessandra Stanley.
Oh, yes. When she wrote about Shonda Rhimes and said that if she wrote a memoir, she could call it How to Get Away with Being an Angry Black Woman.
Yep. And that was sort of the jumping off point for my senior thesis because I was like, absolutely not.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I obviously know exactly what you're talking about. She also reviewed the show when it premiered in 2005 and displayed from 2005 to whenever she wrote that article, like 2013 or something.
2014.
Yeah, like an incredible lack of personal growth.
Absolutely not.
Because she also says something around, I'm trying to think of what she says in like the initial review of it, but it's something about like how crazy it is that all the bosses are black.
Yeah.
She's like, everyone is African American.
And that doesn't happen.
Right. And she's like, something's funky about this.
Something is not right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just remember reading that and being like, how dare you come for Shonda and Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder and tear down this incredible cinematic universe that Shonda has created. So I was like, this will not stand. And so I wrote my thesis with that in mind about like, depictions of African-American women on screen in 2015. So there was like the TV chunk, which was basically all of Shonda shows, but specifically Grey's Anatomy, Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. And then I also, oh my God, this is like embarrassing now to think about it.
No.
There's also like a movie chunk where I literally wrote about like Guardians of the Galaxy because Zoe Saldana was in it, but she was playing an alien. So she was not
green.
Black, but green. And green women are women too, right? They are also women.
Yes.
But not necessarily black women, so I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, including Guardians of the Galaxy. But I also talked about like Dear White People, 12 Years a Slave. I don't know. It was good.
That sounds really good. Wait, I did find the Alessandra Stanley quote from her review.
Please tell me.
Okay, quote. There are no token blacks on Grey's Anatomy.
I'm already throwing up. I'm vomiting.
The three top surgeons who rule the interns with princely authority are all African Americans, and that sign of social advancement is presented as a given without fanfare or comment.
Yeah.
Similarly, female doctors seem to outnumber the men, and nobody on the show finds this remarkable.
Okay, yeah. Oh, God.
Thank you so much, Alessandra. That's
her
actually,
two cents.
That's so helpful. It's helpful and smart.
Absolutely smart, helpful,
it's
correct.
It's like literally her just like working it out, like instead of in her head, just being like, so here's something weird.
Right, I'm seeing the Julia Roberts meme of like carrying all the numbers.
Yeah, like adding it up.
This doesn't make sense. I've never met a black doctor.
Let's start a sentence by saying there are no token blacks and see where that takes us.
Absolutely. It's going to end well. It totally ended well for her.
Yeah, and it totally ended well.
Oh my God.
You know, 9 years later, where she was just like, okay, so here's my takeaway on
exactly
on gonna, TGIT.
And I'm going to use the phrase angry black women and you just think I'm going to get away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was infuriating to me. And I sort of used that to sort of, sort of the culmination of all of the work that I did in college.
What was like your conclusion or the main question that you were asking in your thesis?
Oh my God. I read some of it last night to prepare for this.
Oh my
God. I do my research.
Hell yes.
And it was so painful because it was riddled with typos because I was not a very good student. To be clear, I was not a good student. But I talked a lot about like ghosts of the past and ghosts of archetypes of black women on screen and how Shonda complicated those and how the performances and the writing together gave way to more nuanced portrayals of black women on screen, right? So you used to have like the Mammy and the Jezebel and, you know, different sort of just like basic racist archetypes of women on screen and, you know, Gone with the Wind, Hattie McDaniels, God bless her, but, you know, that's a pretty problematic take.
It does not hold up.
Doesn't hold up in the same, it's sort of tough to watch now. And so sort of just sort of tracing the different portrayals of black women on screen, Diane Carroll and Julia, some other movies that I can't remember and TV shows, and how we got to these like nuanced, interesting, complicated portrayals of black women by Viola Davis and Chandra Wilson. And Kerry Washington, and how like, sometimes these women get angry and they get mad, but so does everyone. So like, how come if when they get mad, they have to be black, angry black women.
Mm-hmm.
But when, you know, Alex Karev punches a fucking hole through a wall, nothing happens. Right.
Yeah.
So that was sort of my hot take, if you will.
That's so good. Yeah. That's so cool.
Oh my God.
Princeton
Remember
rocks.
College? Yeah, honestly. Shout out to my thesis advisor.
Tigers?
Go Tigers, yes.
Wow.
Wildcats, Tigers.
Thank you so much.
Coming together.
Wildcats, yes. I did go to Northwestern, which is what some Northwestern students call the Harvard of the Midwest. Not me. That's humiliating. But some Northwestern
people
do like to say, so in a way, this is kind of an Ivy League. And it's like, it's not.
But we can through
but
a lens
you, but you can you can hold on to that if
One
that makes
say.
It easier to go home
absolutely
yeah, oh my gosh so you when you when did you stop watching Grey's?
Okay, so I sort of stopped watching Grey's. I guess once I got to the city, and I didn't stop, but I became a very special episode person.
Yeah,
so it had to be like an event, like McDreamy's death or Christina going abroad when Burke came back. So I sort of would tune in, but then I would get reinvested and then I'd watch like four episodes in a row, but then boring new intern drama would happen. It'd be an episode about Joe and I'm like, I actually do not like Joe. I don't care for her.
That, you know, I also don't really it's not that I don't like Jo. It's just I'm not 100% invested in her journey.
Exactly.
So it's like when she's on screen, I'm not mad.
No.
But when she's on screen for a long time, I'm like, TikTok.
Yeah. Five minutes are coming
not,
up.
Not to appropriate the phrase, but time's up.
Time is up specifically
time,
for Jo.
Time is up for Jo Wilson.
For Jo Wilson, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I sort of got out sort of when I got to the city. And then, I don't know, Prestige TV, it sort of happened.
The pull
of it all. But honestly, I think I'm ready to dive back in. Because I do still care about these characters. There are enough people that I care about. I'm a sucker for Karev.
Yeah,
because toxic masculinity, I thought he was so hot growing up. So he's still there. And Amelia, because I did watch Private Practice for quite some time, because I was in Addison, like... I define myself, personally, I'm cool because, my favorite character isn't Meredith Grey. I'm actually an Addison fan.
I love Addison. I watched Private Practice for a few seasons. I didn't finish it.
I didn't finish it either. But Kate Walsh and Audra McDonald, I mean, that was incredible.
Absolutely.
Absolutely incredible.
Crazy.
But yeah, so I'm a very special episode person. I need to get back into it. My friend from summer camp was just a patient in an episode.
Who was
Shout
she?
Out Juliana Carullo. I haven't watched the episode yet.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you knew what her...
But she was in a hospital bed and she was talking.
Oh my gosh.
Which is huge.
Mm. I wonder if I could find it.
I know, I was going to... So I think that's going to get me back in and then I'll get hooked again. Because that's the thing. It's like, once you... It's like your extended family. Like you don't see them for 2 years and you kind of forget they exist. But then when you do see them, you're like, oh, wait, I know these people. I love these people. They matter to me.
I've talked about this before, but I do think that it's challenging when you have to just watch it week to week. It's a lot easier to kind of catch up on it. And
it's bingeable.
There's an episode. Yeah. If there's an episode that you're not crazy about, you just check your email during it, which my philosophy about watching TV is so different than when I think about writing TV and what type of stuff I want to watch. But the reality of it is that we live in a two-screen culture.
Ooh,
and you
go off, queen.
and as much as it's you're hoping that you make a show that makes someone not look at their phone,
it's inevitable. You can't control
it. It's inevitable.
Yeah. And honestly, I pay more attention when I'm doing two things at once. I have a lot of trouble focusing on one thing or I lose interest. So if I'm splitting my time between two screens.
Right. I also find myself to be sometimes commitment phobic about watching something where it's wait, this is for example, I just watched a ton of the Marvel movies.
Okay.
I just kind of got into that, which is a really cool thing about me.
Absolutely. Cool girl.
Yeah. It's super cool in 2019 to be wait, these Marvel movies are fun.
They're actually really good. I'm just a guy's girl. I like Marvel movies. I eat hot dogs.
Yeah. Did you know that girls could also fight?
Revolutionary.
Yeah. It's actually incredible. I was watching those and some of those, the biggest movies with the most characters in them are really long. They're two and a half hours. And there was something about just being am I really going to be dead to the world for 2.5 hours while I do this? And there's something this is something that's a disease in my brain and it's broken and bad. And my parents and grandparents did not have this.
100%.
But for me to be well, my phone's here if I need to do something, if I need to respond to an email or if suddenly watching this movie is outweighed by my need to be productive, then whatever, I'll just do that.
My
and then
here.
Once I'm watching it, I'm engrossed and stuff like that. But weirdly, having the out,
you have a lifeline,
makes it more peaceful.
It's so important to have a lifeline.
Yeah. I have a lot less psychic turmoil
about committing to the movie.
Yeah, which is wrong. I mean, that's not how our brains are broken. Yeah.
Wrong. But wait, did you see the Avengers movie?
I did. I saw it yesterday.
I haven't seen it yet. But I don't think Shonda gets enough credit for literally killing off major characters.
So, interestingly enough, both Endgame and Game of Thrones,
that's my angle.
Could take a note.
Could take a note.
They could learn a bit from
kill your darlings.
Yeah. I mean, in Game of Thrones in particular, and I feel very comfortable saying this because this is going to be airing one episode past
Absolutely.
The Battle of Winterfell.
Spoiler like, alert.
But also spoilers. Hashtag spoiler alert. That show's so fucking cowardly.
Absolute cowards.
Like, just kill people off the way that you used to. And something that I find really sickening mm-hmm. about the show is that killing young women and girls
so
becomes this emotional
them.
Shorthand to be like, see, look, we sacrificed something. Pretty bold of us to kill Lyanna, right?
Wow.
And it's like,
spare
well,
me.
Okay, but then Tormund lives? Like,
who?
In what world
even know
does
who
that
is.
Fucking... He's the red-bearded...
Oh, the red-bearded guy who kind of wants
like,
to fuck Brienne.
Like, Brienne, fuck me.
And
yeah.
she's like, I'm actually into Jaime, no thanks.
And then it's like, also... Brienne should, I mean, I love Brienne,
she
but she
died.
Was marked for death.
She should have
like,
died.
Had this, like, they literally, like, shut the door and she's like, well, like, no outstanding issues for me. Everything, my life's tied up neatly with a bow. And then she, like, comes out and she has, like, three cuts on her face and she's like, wow, that was nuts.
That was crazy.
You gotta be kidding
just
me.
Just standing next to a wall the whole entire time. Like,
right.
didn't do anything. It's ridiculous. And
I just
what?
Think, like, Shonda would never.
She killed off Derek, she killed off George, she killed off Mark, she killed
right.
off Lexi. No one is safe in the Grey's universe.
But it's also like, you know what? When someone's life is tied up, like, though sometimes it's actors who want to be off the show.
Yes.
That's fine. But like, you know who didn't want to leave the show? Jessica Capshaw. Sarah Drew. And
there
was nothing left for them to do.
No.
And so she let them go. And so the idea then that like Benioff and Weiss are like, I don't know, there might be more for this redheaded horny man. Like, come on.
People love Brienne and we don't want to see her go.
But like, also those inside the episode things afterwards that are just like aggressively dumb.
Aggressively dumb and just like a circle jerk.
Yes.
Like,
well,
look at how brilliant
it will
we
like
are.
Show a scene of someone walking through a door and they're like, so the really important thing that we wanted to show is that they actually do walk through the door. I'm like, oh my God. But there was this part in this one where they were like, you know, and we knew that everyone was going to be expecting kind of our heroes to off the Night yeah. King. They were looking for Jon. They were looking for Dany. And you totally forget about Arya. I'm like,
who forgot?
Do you think that your audience doesn't have object permanents? They're like, yeah, she walks off screen and everyone's going to kind of forget that she's out there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She literally said, not today to death, and then ran off. And we were like, well, guess she's gone. Like, no way.
Everybody knew that was going to happen. Everybody knew it was going to be her. And the fact that
yeah.
they thought they were like, oh, well, we got Jon, we got Dany, so it's got to be one of them. Like,
it's so stupid.
It was so cowardly. And I was just like, oh, like, I'm so glad that I spent 97 minutes of my life watching no one that I really care about die.
Yeah.
Like, what's, and in a tight 45-minute episode of Grey's Anatomy, three of my favorite characters could die at
right.
any moment. At any moment.
At any moment. And you know what?
And that's good storytelling.
It could not satisfy you, too. It could be a death that feels wrong.
It feels wrong
it could feel
and
wrong
is undeserved.
And incomplete, and you could be mad. And but I'd rather be angry because they did a bold choice than
be
angry because being like, that's how I kind of feel about some of the characters who are still on the show, where I'm
yeah.
like Owen, for example.
Owen. And I can't believe he's still on
and
the
I gotta
show.
And I got to just do a quick shout out to the listeners who have been saying that they also hate Owen. I see you. I really appreciate your support. And to the one person who said I actually like Owen,
ooh.
I see you too. I
you are
do
seeing,
also see you.
You are seen. Know that, listener. You are
know
seen.
Know that. You are loved.
You are absolutely seen.
But with Owen in particular, it's like, okay, he came in season 5. We're yeah. in season 15. He's been married to...
Everyone?
Everyone.
Every
he's
single person.
He's slept with a lot of people. He's mm-hmm. had various jobs. He's been chief. He's
PTSD.
Been not chief. He's had... Yes, he's like... We're now like have circled back around to him like having PTSD that's untreated again because he treated it such a long time ago
mm-hmm.
in like
Christina
season
era.
7 that it's worn off, which
yeah.
is also like true. It is a you have to have a consistent effort
exactly.
to deal with your trauma.
Yeah, it's not a one and done.
Yeah,
but to watch
although,
that on screen.
Yes. Also, speaking of one and done and Grey's, we had this amazing conversation with Alana Bennett talking about the therapy arc for Meredith. And I talked about how I just thought that it was great that it was like this long thing and you see her make progress and you see her
mm-hmm.
kind of like chafe against the idea of like digging deep. And it's not something that's solved in one day. And then literally 2 weeks ago, Owen had this episode where in one therapy session, he remembers like the day that he found out his dad died.
Well, men.
And it's like, come on.
Men are better at things. So like, it's just like, so it works so fast.
Yeah.
Because he's like a strong man, right? Yeah. He doesn't need years of therapy.
That's not the Gray's way.
That is not.
Throw some suffering at these men. Absolutely. That's not the Gray's way.
That's not the Gray's way. We love to see men suffer, and we do get that a lot on Gray's.
Oh my gosh. I think that's actually the perfect segue into who we're talking about today, which is Burke.
Absolutely. Preston Unsung Burke. Hero of the show.
That is such a good take and one that I don't think that everyone has.
I know, because I think people forget about him and the work that he did, and I feel like he was overshadowed. He didn't get a Mick Steamy, a McDreamy. Yeah. He got no Mick.
He was Mick Smart. He was Mick good at his job.
Mick, yeah. Mick glasses. Mick, you know.
Yeah. Mick turtleneck.
Mick turtleneck. Oh, those turtleneck. Mick dad jeans.
Yeah. Mick trumpet.
Mick trumpet.
Or trombone.
Trumpet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I
doubted myself for a moment.
No, believe in yourself.
I got scared.
You got to believe in yourself. Owen would not have doubted himself.
That's true. Owen would be like, it was a flute.
God, absolutely. Then gone to war and, you know.
Yeah.
But I just like, for me, Burke was such an important character because, I mean, not to like get super serious, but hashtag representation matters. He was such an intelligent Black man. For the listeners, I am Black. Look me up. Just so you know. I know you might not be able to tell yet, but this is true. But yeah, he was such like an intelligent, smart Black man. He reminded me of my dad in ways. Like,
really?
Yeah, which was so weird to say. But like, he, like, because Richard was too old. Richard was like, okay,
yeah,
like, grandpa age. But he was like, oh, like he wore glasses. Like my dad wore glasses. And he was like smart and kind of quiet and like jazz and like really good at his job. And like,
yeah,
all of these things that like I never saw on TV or on screen really in terms of portrayals of like, you know, intelligent, hyper-intelligent, kind of nerdy Black guys.
Yeah.
And that for me was like so huge. I was like, that's me. That's my dad. And by extension, that's me.
Yeah. Well, I think that sometimes people like overcomplicate representation, which is so weird to me because I loved Belle, like from Beauty and the Beast growing up.
Yes.
Simply because she was the brunette princess.
And because like, she liked books.
Yeah. It was like she liked books and so did I. But the most important thing was just like we kind of looked alike. Like
exactly.
she had brown hair and I had brown hair and everyone else was blonde. And it's like.
It's actually that simple.
Like it is great to like get into the deep levels and like there should be like a, you know, a pantheon of characters
we
that you can identify with.
But mermaid hair.
But genuinely, it's like the base level. It was just like as a kid, I was like, I have brown hair. She has brown hair. She, me, I, her.
Okay, so that's funny because for me, for Disney, that was literally the Lion King and Simba. I was like, Africa, he might be Black.
Oh my God.
I'm a lion, he's a lion.
I mean, it like, that like kind of sucks, but also that kind of rules.
But it also kind of rules. I mean, like it's kind of sucks, I think it's grown to rule.
Yeah, I mean like, that shouldn't have been your only option, but also it would be cool if you did have more options and you still were like, I'm a lion.
But I'm still a lion, yes. Even though I see you, Tiana, I am a lion.
Oh that's my gosh. Sort of...
Another great unsung hero of the...
Yeah. A lot of pressure on Tiana.
A lot of pressure on Tiana. And Burke, like, the way that he was just so serious and good at his job and just his relationship with Christina, too, which we will get into because sort of, I think, messed me up forever. I don't know. I think that watching that in middle school and being emotionally invested in that has...
Yeah.
I don't know if that's taught me.
He's so serious about her.
He's so serious.
I love that. I really, really love that.
And
I want to be the woman who completely undoes a man who has his life together. I want to come
Christina
in.
Did.
Yes, I want to come in like a fully formed, at the top of his game, like farther ahead in life than I am.
100%.
Man who's like hot and smart and not interested. And I want to be so compelling and hot and smart that I destroy his life by just
unravels.
Being myself.
Mm. By just being your gorgeous self.
By simply being me.
You're absolutely gorgeous self. And honestly,
he has to leave the city that we live in simply because I'm myself.
Yeah.
And
honestly,
who
I see that
could
for
I
you.
Be?
I
Thank
see that
you
for you.
So much.
I feel that's going to happen.
And that would be incredible.
And that's not too much to ask.
And that's the real thing.
The real thing
the takeaway being like, it's not too much to ask that just by being true to myself, I absolutely
destroy
a man's life. Yeah.
Destroy a man's life.
He crumbles.
Absolutely.
Because I'm just my spunky little self.
Spunky little quirky self.
Yeah.
He was a very important person in my life. And I always I was dealing with a lot of things. I was one of the only black kids at my school.
I was going to say, is it correct to assume that there weren't a ton of black kids at your boarding school?
You can bet your bottom dollar.
But at Princeton, I'm sure, very diverse.
Very incredibly diverse. I think I went from, three black kids in a class to five.
Wow.
So it was really, we really upped the ante.
Really huge.
Absolute diversity win. But it was really, so the diversity of the cast really appealed to me because I was like, okay, this looks like my life. A lot of white people, but a smattering of people of color.
Yeah.
It's like, I can relate to that.
A smattering.
Just a smattering. Hashtag
a smattering.
Hashtag a smattering. So I was already compelled to watch the show and whatnot, but then seeing just Burke really stood out to me as one of the most important. Yeah. He wasn't getting, there were no, Burke posters. No one was screaming, "Oh, McSteamy, snap me in half."
But he is really good at kissing.
He was an amazing kisser. Yeah. The scene when he kisses, "Thanks for the coffee."
Yeah.
Oh, thanks
the
for the coffee.
The part where he kisses Christina in the on-call room and he just kind of puts his hands
on her head. Face.
Yeah. That I'm like, yes, crush me.
Crush my skull.
Envelop me and then crush my skull. Yeah.
But it was so incredible. I can't believe I was in seventh grade watching that. Oh my God. I'm reeling. I'm feeling it all again. But yeah, and then it was just so sad. How he went out was so sad to me.
Yeah.
And was and also made me sort of deal with another part of myself that was sort of unexplored and unexamined.
Right. Well, I think that his performance is so, so good that it's very hard to imagine that Isaiah Washington is different from Burke
him.
In any way.
And I didn't know that at the time because I was 13. I thought and same goes with T.R. Knight. I was okay, if you're playing a character on TV, you are that character.
Right. Definitely.
Ellen Pompeo is Meredith Grey.
Right. It's how can you be that good at portraying someone if you don't have most things in common with them or your personality is really similar? And so it's... Yeah, that's kind of, it's like a betrayal then when the actor does something that you're like, wait, the character I love would never do this.
He would never. Burke is sensitive. Burke is intelligent. Burke is an ally.
It's so funny. I was just about to say Burke can cook. Which is
the same thing.
Is it the same? Yeah, it might be the same.
Not different.
It's not the same, but it's also not different.
It's also not different. But yeah, the whole T.R. Knight, when Burke and so buckle up, we're going to use some intense language. When Isaiah Washington got into a fight with Patrick Dempsey because Patrick Dempsey was late. And I was also, so before we dive into the story, I'm a pop culture nut, TMZ slave, Perez Hilton. That was sort of my beat back in the day.
Yeah.
So I was deeply invested in these people outside of their...
Right.
Outside of the show,
and
right?
There was so much drama.
There was so much drama and such an insane degree.
And now is another time that I just would like to kind of put out into the universe. The Goalless podcast definitely talked about Grays, to find a Grays community. But what it is on a larger scale, it is to pressure the Grays industry to create a tell-all oral history.
Absolutely.
It needs to happen.
Ladies Who Punch. We need a Ladies Who Punch for Grays.
Let me help you give me
I'll do
what
the work.
I want.
I already wrote my thesis on this. Some material.
Give me phone numbers. I'll call.
We've got it covered. Nicole and I got it covered.
We can do this. Anyway, okay, so just back in. Yeah.
Back in. Yeah. So to find out at the tender age of 13, when I'm struggling with my sexuality, I'm starting to dabble in gay porn. I'm sort of, I'm getting into that place.
Yeah.
And to find out that one of my TV idols, my TV icons, called Patrick Dempsey a faggot at a work event.
Yeah.
Was really...
Wait, he called Dempsey that? I thought he called T.R. Knight that. But there's
two stories.
There's two stories.
So what...
And Isaiah Washington kind of denies both of them.
He denies both of them. And then the absolutely insane thing was what he did at the Emmys, when he used the word again, in a press conference, was insane. I bet you forgot that. That's actually insane.
I did forget that.
Okay, so we should tell both sides of the story because there are famously two sides to every story.
Yes.
Okay? So Isaiah Washington says that He was pissed off because Patrick Dempsey was late again.
Off racing cars.
Off, yeah. Off just racing cars, doing his Dempsey thing.
Yeah.
With his Dempsey hair and that gorgeous smile, right? Yeah. So Isaiah Washington is mad because Patrick Dempsey is late again for rehearsal, right? And so they're all waiting and Patrick Dempsey rolls in and Isaiah Washington says that, like, he calls Patrick Dempsey out for being late, and then Dempsey is like, well, I want to wait for Ellen Pompeo. Ellen Pompeo's not here yet, and I want to do my scene with Ellen. And then Isaiah Washington is like, I'm a real actor, so I don't need to wait for anyone. I can just do my work, which, like, okay, like, weird flex, but okay. Like, so Isaiah Washington does that, and then he says, and this is where it gets, like, so complicated, and this is why, like, words do matter and words are important. Isaiah Washington claims that he called Patrick Dempsey a bitch, a pussy, and a faggot, but not in, like, a gay way. Like, he was just being weak, which, like, that's not okay. Mm. Like, how upsetting is that?
It's awful.
It's literally
awful.
It's
so bad.
It is so, so bad. And it's just, like, 2007 was a different place because, like, he, like, almost got away with it.
Yeah.
But
then the story that got out was that he had called T.R. Knight, who was not publicly out as gay yet.
And then was forced to come out as gay.
In order to be like, this sucked.
Yes.
Yes. But then it was like, it kind of got distorted of being like, oh, he called a gay person a gay slur. Mm-hmm.
And
regardless,
he used it.
Isaiah Washington was fired.
Was fired.
And written off of the show. I mean, it gave us an amazing moment, but he's written off
my favorite
very
moment.
Promptly.
Very yeah. fast, very promptly. And before he got written off, they won either the Emmy or the SAG award for, like, best cast.
Yeah, best ensemble.
Best ensemble.
That's a SAG, yeah.
Yes, they won best ensemble. And he was like, they asked him about it in a press conference. This is on YouTube. You can find it in front of everyone.
Yeah, he doubled down.
He doubled down and he said, no, I did not call T.R. Knight a faggot. And it's like, why are you even using that word again? Like, you didn't have to say that.
Right. Like, he didn't really understand that, like, the issue was, like, not, like, that he called T.R. Knight that, but it's, like, using that word in general sucks.
It sucks and is yeah. bad and
is
hurtful
bad.
And damaging.
Yes.
And all of those things. And to watch, like, the whole cast respond in real time to that moment is so insane. Shonda lets out, like, a weird little chuckle. She's like, like, she knows that she's like, I'm going to fire him yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, you can see it, like, absolutely go through her mind. She was like, why is this man on stage with us? And T.R. Knight just looks like pale as a ghost.
Yeah.
It was just a deeply uncomfortable moment. And it was just so sad because on one hand, it's like, oh, I see so much myself in Burke. He's like a nerdy black dude who's, like, you know, really talented and really awesome. Wow. I'm just, like, self-aggrandizing myself. Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
I love it.
I love it. You know, you got to love yourself.
But it's also true.
And then at the same time, George was, like, my other favorite character.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like, well, I'm also, like, girls don't like me either.
Right. Of course. I mean, there's something so accessible about George as a character that, like, kind of has nothing to do with him. It's just like his vibe,
just, I don't know, he felt like a middle school boy, like,
yes,
thrown in
so
with
true.
The adults, and I was like a middle school boy at the time, so I was like, wow, like, my two favorite characters have beef, and their beef is about, like, identity and identity politics, and, like, I, like, feel tethered, and, like, I didn't know at the time, but I was a T.R. Knight, I'm a gay, so
It, like, emotionally complicated.
It was very emotionally complicated. And the thing is, I will say, to Shonda's credit, I think they handled it about as well as they possibly could have.
I think so, too. Especially when you just compare it kind of against the context of other character departures.
Oh, yeah.
It is great. I mean, like, it's, like, a very, very good...
It's complete.
It doesn't feel... manufactured. Yeah. You're not like, Burke would never leave Christina.
No, it made...
You're like, no, this has actually kind of been building for a long time.
Exactly. And Christina didn't really want to get married, but
right.
she loved him. And I think the fact that the drama off screen equaled the drama on screen, and, like, one didn't really overshadow the other in terms of just, like, the weight of it. Like, it was so crazy what was happening off screen. And then, like, Burke leaving Christina at the altar was, like, I didn't even know that, like, men could do that. Like, I didn't
right.
know that was a thing that
Honestly,
could happen.
Same.
So, like,
I was like, sometimes women get cold feet.
I know. It's like, I saw the first.
And they run away.
I saw the first episode of Friends, and I know that Rachel left whoever at the altar, but I, like, didn't know that men could do that or would do that.
Right.
So, like, watching that unfold was so so dramatic, like the height of melodrama, but in the best way, which is what Grey's does better than any show of all time.
Yeah,
it's make true. Melodrama accessible and actually deeply felt and like gorgeous art.
Yes.
And I'll die on that hill.
And I'm there. I'm actually on the hill too. And I'm also dead.
And we're also dead.
I also died on that
hill. And you know what? Shonda would kill us, unlike
and
the
I
Game of Thrones
thank
producers.
Thank her for it.
I would say thank She would let
Shonda.
Us go in a yeah. second.
Oh my gosh. We are about to get into some clips of Burke, about Burke.
My body is ready.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I pulled three, you pulled three. Mm. And what's so funny is in two instances, we each pulled different moments from the same episode.
Oh, stop. We're so, twins.
I know, twins. We have the same taste in Burke. Yeah. So I guess the first... Let's start with your Be the Other Guy clip.
God.
What inspired you to choose or, you know, set up the clip and if you have anything to say about
okay.
it before we listen?
I mean, I think this episode and sort of this stretch of Grey's Anatomy is peak Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my gosh,
it's
yes.
absolutely iconic. Guest stars, insane. Kyle Chandler, Coach Taylor from Friday
yes.
Night Lights.
We are talking, of course, about the Bomb in the Body Cavity
the
episode.
The Bomb in the Body Cavity. I thought it went without saying, but you're totally right.
No.
Must let the listeners know.
Some people just know Kyle Chandler as...
Coach Taylor.
That's Coach Taylor. Yeah.
Fair. And we love him.
Christina Ricci's in this episode.
And she's incredible.
She's
Her
so
eyes
good.
Have never been bigger. She's
never been more traumatized.
Never been more traumatized. And it really is like, this was sort of like, it's before Grey's got so insane that like anything, like planes were falling out of the sky. Like this
yeah.
felt like, okay, like maybe this could happen.
Well, the way that like that first part happens where the wife is just like screaming and
yeah.
she won't say anything. And then she eventually like explains that it's a bazooka and that there's unexploded ammunition inside
in the stomach.
Of this man. Oh, the reveal.
The reveal was just, it was legendary. And so basically Burke
this is like kind of the beginning of the second episode of this two-part,
yeah.
this two-parter.
A big two-parter, right? And yeah. Meredith's hand is, like, lodged, like, in the guy's chest. Like,
yes.
keeping the bomb from exploding so she could blow up at any second.
Yes.
And Burke is operating and trying to, like, remove the bomb, if you will. And Christina is in there, like, giving the guy oxygen.
Yes.
And Burke is like, Christina, you gotta get out.
Yeah.
You gotta get out.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's watch it.
No.
No, I'm staying.
There's nothing more you can do here. We got it covered. Christina, this is not another cool surgery. This ammo can go off at any time and kill everyone in this room. Do you get that? You cannot be in here.
This is about surgery.
Christina, I cannot do this with you in here. I cannot think.
We'll be fine. It's okay. You know in the movies, how there's always the hero and then there's the other guy. You know, the guy who sees danger and then runs in the opposite direction?
Yes.
Be the other guy.
Absolute perfection.
It's so good. And I think that just the way that he's like, I can't do this with you in here. It's like very sexual for
it's
me.
It's very hot. It's very,
yeah.
it's deeply felt, but it is sexually charged. And you believe him. And that's
yes.
the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it kind of, that part really answers the question of like, well, if he needs to be in there and he would never walk away from it, what is his reason for why Christina can't do the same
yeah,
thing?
Exactly.
And he's like, I can't do my job if I'm worried about you.
I'm worried about you. Which is a little like, I mean,
a little possessive, but that's kind of
possessive.
That's honestly part of the pull of Burke, because
and that's
Christina,
why,
Christina will never let him get to that point, and so mm-hmm. you just it's kind of nice that he like sometimes he wants to,
yes,
you're like, yes, protect me,
but that's ultimately what she needs to escape. But we'll
yes.
get there. But I also want to say in that clip, which is like, honestly, Ellen Pompeo is one of one of our most talented and I would say underrated actresses.
Absolutely.
Her,
she is so
the work she does
gifted.
Even when it's not about her. That scene was not about her.
Yeah.
But when she says go.
Yeah. It's just her eyes and the way that she's kind of like saying more than that. But she's also covering she's scared.
So much. She's scared.
Yes, it's so good.
But she wants Christina to be safe. She wants Burke to do the best job that she can do, or yeah, the best job he can do, rather. And I just want to just shout out to my girl Ellen.
Yeah.
From Boston. We love you.
One of the best things about her performance in that episode is like, you really get the idea visually from her performance that like, she doesn't know why she did that. Like, yeah, she did it and she like doesn't know why.
It was
and
she's pure like, instinct.
Right. And she's like freaked out and upset and mad. But it's like she just like did it.
She did it. And she's
and
was
it's
the
weird
hero.
That all, you know, it's so cool that like all of that comes through.
It all comes through with just like that and just a line. And
yes.
Then,
a line, a look.
A look, a glance, a touch, the fabric of her life.
I know.
But yeah, be the other guy. Like, it's okay. She wants him to live. She wants him to survive. That's such a big part of their relationship is that they need each other to survive so that when you get to the end of the relationship, it yeah, really is a punch in the gut.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so then weirdly, the next clips that we have are, we both chose them from the same episode, and they're the next episode, but time has passed.
Time has passed.
And I almost chose this clip too, because it's one of my absolute favorites of all time. It's when they're dancing while she's brushing her teeth.
Oh, God.
He like comes in from working out. I'm describing this more because It is mostly visual,
mostly
but
music.
I actually trust that most listeners kind of know what I'm talking about.
You'll
and they're
going
to be able to see it in your mind as we're playing the music. But basically, she's brushing her teeth in the kitchen.
Yes.
And like her pants are like half, like they're unzipped. She's like a belt hanging out. She just like
she's
is getting,
alone in her apartment.
She's alone in the apartment, in Burke's apartment. She's getting ready for the day. And then Burke comes in and he's all sweaty and he's been working out and he looks amazing.
Absolutely incredible.
And she's listening to headphones, so he can't hear the music.
Mm-hmm.
And, but she starts kind of like, she sees him and is kind of embarrassed. And then she just like starts dancing at him and he dances back and it's so good.
It's so good. It's a pure happy moment. And we don't get a lot of those.
I know. And it's very silly. It's very like, it's also a moment where you see what Burke and Christina are like outside of work in the, in private, just with each other.
When the pressure's off.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you have friends that you're like, these two people are really nice. They're like, they're dating each other and they're like, they're really nice. And then you get a glance of one of them and you're like, I got to see what the other person gets to see.
Yeah.
Like I saw the version of this person that's like, I see who you are to her,
exactly,
or vice versa.
In a private space, in a private
space. And that's what that clip is to me. It's like you suddenly, it's this look where you're like, oh my God, they have so much fun. They like each
pure
other so
joy.
Much. They just like are, so, they like each other and each other's company. So, okay, let me.
We got to pull it up.
Pull
I'm gonna
it
dance.
Up. Are you going to dance?
After careful consideration and many sleepless nights, here's what I've decided. There's no such thing as a grown-up. We move on, we move out. We move away from our families and form our own.
So sweaty.
No, Dr. Burke. Yes? Yes, I'll let her know. That was your landlord. He wants you to know that there's a minor flood in your apartment. Your other apartment.
Ooh. Ooh, steamy.
Oopsies. Yeah.
Yikes.
And that's like their arc for that episode,
yeah,
that he asked her to move in. She did, but then she didn't actually give up her apartment. And there's just like I mean, you eventually see it. It's just like filled with trash.
Yeah, there's like not like a nice apartment.
Clothes are all over the floor, and yeah,
it's a very messy apartment.
Has all of her crap in there.
But the dancing, like to go from that joy, and like,
oh my gosh.
I will say also representation for black men who can't really dance. Burke's dancing is so bad.
It's so adorable. That little like marching move that he does is so.
The slide to the left, slide to the right.
Yeah.
It's like, it's iconic, and it was so funny and so fun and so nerdy and so cute.
Yeah.
And they, oh God. And Sandra Oh, as we know, viral clip of her dancing right now.
Yes.
Just going around. It's very similar to that, actually.
Yeah. She pulled from a personal experience.
Definitely
do that.
She pulled from her own life.
Yeah. Well, I had kind of forgotten that was the same episode, but of course it is of my clip from that episode, which is the very end where he comes into the,
Is she eating Chinese food?
She's eating Chinese food in bed.
They always eat Chinese food, and yes. I love
She's
that.
Eating Chinese food in bed, and I think she, for some reason, she like kind of looks like caught off guard that he came home, and she looks very like guilty and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. the last experience that they had was like this like fight where she was caught with not having given up her apartment.
Lying.
And yeah, okay, I'm going to pull up that clip.
I am Preston Burke. A widely renowned cardiothoracic surgeon. I am a professional. And more than that, I am a good and kind person. I am a person that cleans up behind myself. I am a person that cooks well. And you are an unbelievable slob, a slovenly, angry intern. I am Preston Burke. And you are the most competitive, most guarded, most stubborn, most challenging person I have ever met. And I love you. What the hell is the matter with you that you won't just let me?
I gave up my apartment 20 minutes ago.
Well, all right, then.
And then Corinne Bailey Ray. Oh, the music.
Oh, so good.
So good. That is a Shondalog for the ages.
It really is.
That is absolutely a
And it's so
for
true
ages.
To him. It's really like, it's how he
processes emotions.
Because he is kind of, he is an arrogant person.
And absolutely.
It's like, it's less about I love you, and a lot of like, how could you not love me?
Yeah, I'm perfect. I
right,
cook well,
like,
lest we forget.
Less we,
he's an ally, he cooks.
Forget. Yes, the Thanksgiving episode when he cooks with Izzy is really good.
Absolutely fantastic. Oh, God. And she just like, she looks like a deer caught in headlights the whole entire time. He's giving this like incredible speech.
She
and
like has noodles in her mouth
literally.
That she hasn't chewed and swallowed. It's incredible.
And then she just like comes in with, she gave the apartment away 20 minutes
I know.
Ago. And
she's like, is that... Does that help?
And he like can't. He's so like arrogant that he can't just be like, okay, like we're
yeah,
good.
He like, goes to like take a shower. He's like, okay, then. It's also,
fine.
Just quick shout out to that, to me, iconic ribbed green sweater.
Ribbed green sweater into the biggest jeans I've ever seen on a person. His jeans are humongous. They are next level. They're clown pants and they are amazing.
It's so clown true.
Pants.
Clown pants. Yeah, I mean, in general, I think Sam Reese brought this up, like none of the characters' jeans fit, like
not,
from Ellen Pompeo to Isaiah Washington, they don't fit.
And it wasn't a thing for the style back then. We can't blame it on the past.
No, it wasn't. They wanted a low rise and a tight fit,
exactly.
and Grace did not deliver that.
They did not.
And that's okay.
It was a deliberate choice, but
yeah. Oh my gosh.
God, and I love you. And that's the thing. He
and
said
I
it.
You.
I love you. Ugh. God,
I
he
want
meant
Burke
it.
To love me.
I think about that every day.
Okay, the next clip that I chose is. So, you know, as we did recently discuss in the episode with Ava Victor, Denny Duquette, all that whole ordeal.
Absolutely.
Burke gets shot because Izzy like fucked stuff up and
as she does.
Yeah. And Burke has to have surgery and his hand has a tremor and he's not, you know, There's the whole arc about him like not being cleared for surgery and then being cleared for surgery and not really being honest and Christina assisting him and all that stuff. But there's this part in the beginning of the third season after Izzy has like gotten the check for, you know, 8.5 $3 million or whatever it is. And she's freaked out about it. And she's so self-centered. And everyone is like, deposit the check. And she's like, no, I want to like have it go towards something meaningful, which like is fair. Great. But it's also, it's just so much about like her own
and
deal.
Her decision and her, what's she going to do with
right.
it.
Right. And Burke is experiencing a hand tremor when the scene starts. And he like kind of like clenches his fist and is writing paperwork. And Izzy comes in, and this scene between them, I think, is
wow.
one of my faves.
I'm titillated. I don't know if I remember exactly what happens in this one.
Oh, I'm excited for you to see it.
Hi. I just wanted to say hi. Denny left me $8 million, $8.7 million to be exact. Did you know that he had money? Because I didn't know.
No, I didn't know.
I'm thinking about using it to travel, maybe go to Italy. I've never been there before. I hear Venice is amazing.
Is it?
I'm fine. Really, I am. I'm fine. Everyone thinks I'm not. Everyone thinks I'm... But I'm fine.
You're fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
So...
I got shot because I was coming back to the hospital to check on Denny. Because you told me to. I'm not fine. Denny asked you to marry him and now he is dead. You're not fine. Don't come in here and... Just... We're not fine.
I'm sorry. We were friends. You were my boss, but... I think we were friends too. And I never meant for anyone to get hurt. And I know there is nothing I can do to take it back.
No.
Preston, please.
You quit. You quit being a surgeon. You have two good hands. And you aren't using them. Feel guilty about that.
Right.
The ableist shaming. Oh my God.
It's
you have two good hands.
It's such a satisfying scene because you want it because it is so unfair what has happened to Burke and it's all because
it's
of Izzy.
Izzy's fault.
But there's also just the way that there's so much restraint. And
he holds back. He's withholding, but you can feel that he could feel him bubbling with anger.
Like the most like searing part of that is when she's like, "I know there's nothing I can do to take it back," and he goes, "No,
no."
It's and like I what?
Full stop. Period.
Yeah.
No ellipses. Period.
Yeah. It's
And when she walks in, she's like, "I'm gonna go to Italy." I'm
she's like, "Yeah,
come
I don't
on.
Know. I like might go to Italy.
At $8 million, I'm gonna go to Italy." Like, I'm not sorry for you anymore,
right?
And I loved Denny, but you cut the Alved wire. You're a fool.
And look, just the way that she comes in, she's like, "Ugh, everyone's so worried about me, but I'm actually okay.
I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Ugh, everyone just can't stop paying attention to me. Someone who it's my fault that you can't use
shot.
Your hand.
Yeah. And that your career might be jeopardized forever.
Fucking
that's sort of her whole vibe, which I'm not going to lie. When I was in middle school, I did see a lot of myself in Izzy. I mean, I would have cut the Alved wire.
I have friends who are watching for the first time right now and they really don't like Izzy.
Yeah.
And I do get it.
100%.
I do really like Izzy, but I think that... There are times when Izzy should have her ass handled to her.
Absolutely.
And that part can sometimes be a little underserved on the show.
But we just got it.
Yes.
But we just
did.
Got it.
And we got it from someone who, like, if Derek yelled at Izzy, that would not be the same as like having Burke be disappointed in you. Like, oh my, the
I just got a chill
horror.
Down my spine.
Yeah, that would be really awful.
Doesn't exist.
And I feel he does to me.
He does in my heart. But
oh
that would
gosh.
Be awful. And she got a stern talking to and she needed it.
Yeah.
But also it's okay to feel pain.
Yeah.
It's okay to not be fine.
Yes.
I needed to hear that today.
Yeah. And listeners, It is early right now. It is 11 in the morning.
100%.
Yeah, so that's a good way to start off the day. Okay, 100%. We just each have one clip left, and they're both from the wedding episode.
This is my all-time favorite episode.
It's so good.
It is the best, the single best moment, and I have fought, or not fought, but sparred with One Bone Ying about Christina's best monologue. Both Burke created or Burke motivated.
I think the best monologue for me is when she's talking to Owen.
Yes, and that's what he says. Yeah. And I rewatched that, and it's absolutely iconic. It's unbelievable.
And also, for the record, the YouTube clip, if you're looking for it, it's called Burke Speaks to Owen of Burke. Or Burke Speaks of Burke to Owen. It's like that, but that's the way that it's phrased. She speaks of Burke.
Of Burke.
To Owen.
Oh my God.
And it is favorited.
And it is favorited because it's amazing. But for me, this moment that we're about to, the actual moment where it all falls apart.
Yes.
And how she responds, and that she's doing two things at once. She is sobbing, but she is...
And I think it's fair to group this in with Burke because it's also just like it's in Burke's house and the way that she's like noticing
the things Eugene Foote.
Yes,
the things. His favorite scrub cap.
That represent him. But before that is chronologically.
We have to go in chronological order.
It is my clip where Burke practices wedding vows and surgery. Yeah, I mean...
That was a human sound I just made, just so you know.
It's the correct sound. I don't know how anyone can make any other sound just at the thought of it. This was something that I had not seen in probably a few years. Yeah. And I needed to revisit, and I did.
I wasn't expecting this. But
I know. Here we go.
I wasn't prepared.
There, Preston.
Close call, but she stabilized.
Good work, Dr. Burke. We may actually get you to the church on time. You nervous?
No, not really. More excited. Hmm. Except about my vows. I wrote them myself. I don't know. They may be too... I want them to be right.
Well, let's hear them.
What now?
You got a room full of women. Try them out on us.
Christina, I could promise to hold you and to cherish you. I could promise to be there in sickness and in health. I could say, till death do us part. But I won't. Those vows are for optimistic couples. The ones full of hope. And I do not stand here on my wedding day optimistic or full of hope.
Okay.
I am not optimistic. I am not hopeful. I am sure. I am steady. And I know. I am a hard man. Take them apart. I put them back together. I hold them in my hands. I am a hard man. So this, I am sure. You are my partner. My lover. My very best friend. My heart beats for you. And on this day, the day of our wedding, I promise you this. I promise you to lay my heart in the palm of your hands. I promise you, me. Not too trite, because I can rewrite it.
I think I speak for every woman in this room when I say dump her, dump Ying, and marry me.
Addison with a retort.
God, it's so
I am a heart man.
It is also the only not cringeworthy use of the word lover I've ever heard.
Truly.
You're like, yes, he is her lover.
Absolutely. I believe yeah, that.
They're
fully
lovers
and good.
We should all have lovers.
Everyone. We all deserve to have lovers. And the turn when it starts out, I'm not optimistic because he's sure. And that is such an important word. The foreshadowing there for where we're about to go is incredible writing. Whoever wrote that episode, snaps to you.
And I
have to say this too from an acting standpoint, because you know I am an actor.
Actors,
one might say. The fact that he was able to like deliver that without us seeing his face, I mean, that's the thing. All of the scrub acting
and he's like also like performing surgery. There's no gesticulation.
Believably performing surgery and like he's performing literal surgery. And it's all just eye work. It's all just with the eyes and the dulcet, smooth tones of Burke.
It's vocal
that voice,
performance. It's eyes.
I'm a heart man. Like, you are. Take my heart. Take my breath away. You see, and we don't talk about, I feel like he gets overlooked. And the listeners, revisit these Burke moments on your own time.
Right? That's your homework.
And write a thesis about it.
And go to Princeton.
Absolutely. Do all of those things and then report back.
And please tweet us and let us know how it went.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And this is this is a really fitting moment. And also really symbolic to end our clips with a clip without Burke, because that is the legacy of Burke.
He's gone.
It is the shadow that he cast that extended beyond his physical appearance
seasons
on the show.
Further.
Yes. And you know something that I think is really interesting is like there's no perfect person for you in this world. Like there's no, there's like you, whether or not you believe that there's such a thing as a soulmate, there's like no perfect person.
Yeah.
And there's this like time in any serious relationship where you're like, okay, do I want to take the deal? Like you could have someone else who has the things that you, that this other person is lacking, but then they wouldn't have the things that you love. And
exactly.
Like, there's something.
You can't have it all.
You can't have it all. And there's no person who never does anything that's like wrong, or you're completely compatible in every single way. And I think that a really like weird part of adulthood and relationships ending that is represented in Christina and Burke is that when you're out of a serious relationship, after you had in that relationship being like, yep, I'm going to take the deal, there's this like retroactive reevaluation that you have to do of like, okay, well, when I thought that I was going to be in this forever, I had to be okay with it.
Yeah, I had to make some sacrifices and be okay with certain things.
But now that I'm out of it and I need to be honest with myself about what it actually was like and what I actually can ask for myself going forward.
And what I actually want.
Yes. And like there were some serious problems with Christina and Burke's relationship. And like, could they have been married forever? Like,
100%.
Honestly, maybe.
I think they definitely could have.
But then once she's out of that relationship and she's like, okay, I'm no longer taking that deal, when it comes to then what she needs Owen to be able to do for her, what she needs to be able to do for herself, there's like this
clarity.
Yeah, there's this really like, I think, accurate and it's like a heart-wrenching process that you go through where the stuff that you told yourself was okay and was like actually going to be really livable for you, you have to kind of then go back and pick it apart and be like, you know what, actually the things that I did for this person, I'm not willing to do for anyone else. I don't ever want to do that again.
It's a recalibration.
Yeah. And I think that this speech is like the first time that she kind of has this realization that what Burke actually was asking of her was something that she
did not want.
That she didn't want. And he knew that more than she did.
And he did at the time.
Yeah.
And the thing, it's crazy because it goes back to what we were saying about like, oh, that like protectiveness, that sort of the withholdingness, his sort of control over her, which was kind of hot at some points.
Right. And she also wanted, she wanted to do that. And like being like, let me operate for you. Let me be there with you. And she got to learn from it. And like all of these things, there's so much entangled in that.
There is. Oh, it's so crazy because the wedding episode is titled, Didn't We Almost Have It All?
Didn't we almost have it all?
Almost, but you don't get it all. You never get it all.
Okay, here we go.
Being an adult is so sad.
I know, it's really hard.
It's so difficult.
He's gone.
I don't think he's gone. His stuff is still here.
His trumpet was here. His entire Eugene Foote collection.
Vinyls and CDs.
His grandmother's picture was by the bed. His lucky scrub cap was hanging on the door. He's gone. I'm free. Damn it. Oh, God, get us off.
We can take us off. Take us off.
Please. Stop.
The single best moment.
I know.
On Grey's for me. It gives you everything.
I know.
You get really a does. Meredith and Christina moment at the end. You get a passionate Ingrid Michaelson song to build.
This reminds me, in your email, didn't you say that you started taking trumpet lessons because of Burke?
I literally started taking trumpet in the sixth grade because Burke took trumpet.
That makes me cry.
Pretty cool. And now the trumpet is gone, and I was actually awful at it.
Yeah, it's a hard instrument.
Yeah, my teacher's name was Chuck Bumcrot, so that made it difficult to focus.
Wow.
Yeah, Chuck, if you're listening, thanks.
Thanks for the trumpet.
Thanks for the trumpet years, the lessons.
Oh my gosh.
But that, just like, what the work that Sandra Oh is doing as an actress, I just think it really just needs to be put on record that she's one of the greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
Absolutely in the echelon, the highest echelon there is. She is communicating despair and yet freedom and sort of like hope at the same time.
It's so true. When Bowen and I did our episode on Christina/Sandra, one of the iTunes podcast reviews was like, everything is so good. Like after every clip, they just say, it's so good. She's so good. I'm like, bitch, what else do you want me to say? She's so fucking
because
good.
Because she is, you idiot.
What else can, I'm at a loss for words. I watch her act and I go, she's so good.
She's so good.
And she is so good. And oh my gosh. Things,
and the writing of it and the cutting out of a dress. Ugh. I want to be cut out of a wedding dress. That's all that I want.
I know.
Same. Somebody cut me out of a wedding dress.
I need a tight wedding dress.
Where I look incredible.
I was going to say, I have to look that hot.
I have to have that hourglass figure. It's just the only way it's going to work.
Yeah. A mermaid dress. Oh my gosh. I can't believe those are the clips.
Those are the best. You did an amazing job.
Are you ready to do your Shondalog?
Yes. Tell me, are there parameters? Do I have to do it about something? Can it be about anything?
It could be about anything.
Okay.
It could be something in the world of the show. It can be something in the world of your life.
Okay.
It can be anything.
I think I have something that I just need to get off my chest.
Okay.
I think I'm ready.
Okay. Let me get a song and I'm just going to let you go.
Okay. Yeah. Last night, I bombed in a comedy show. Yeah, I did. And it was rough, and it was embarrassing, and I let it happen. Okay? And it's my fault, but you know what? I am so much more than any show. Than any audience that doesn't respect my comedy and my hot takes on Felicity Huffman. I am an artist. I am a comedian, and whether or not you know that and you understand that and you believe that, I won't let that stop me. I'm gonna keep going because I am Chris Murphy. And I am a comedian.
Oh my God. Wow.
coming from a place of truth, coming from a place of radical honesty.
That was incredible.
I
had goosebumps. And just the homage to I Am Preston Burke was...
Thank you. I didn't know I was going to do that, but I...
You know, you do it and you just it just comes out.
It just comes out.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what song am I going to choose?
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
It's been a couple weeks since I've done one and I'm feeling pent up energy.
Oh my God, let it fly. Let it out. Yeah. Let it sing.
Okay.
I actually wasn't that bad at the comedy show, I will say. Just for the record.
Killed.
It actually was amazing. They just didn't get it, but I was amazing.
That's always, ain't that always
ain't
the case?
That the truth.
Okay, how's this? I lost it. I don't even know that I knew what I had, but whatever it is, I lost it. And I owe you an apology because I've just slowly been giving you more and more to carry, and not just you. I've been doing that to everyone, my mom, my sister, but most of all you. And at some point when I gave you all that stuff, I lost me, the thing that kept me inside. And when I said that stuff to you, I know that you might not be able to forgive me right now, but I just hope that you know that I'm gonna try to get it back. And it's gonna take time. And I know that it might not be the same, but we both work here, and I'm gonna make it up to you. And I'm gonna show you. I lost it, but I can get it back. I will get it back because it's too important, it's too valuable. That's it.
Wow. I am... The timing with the music...
I kind of feel like all the songs on this playlist are like kind of designed for that because that's what they're like from in the show anyway.
It was perfect. And also it was channeling Christina. You lost me. Yeah. Are we Burke and Christina?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Should we get engaged and have it go really poorly?
And then you get cut out of a dress.
Oh my gosh.
And then I move to Switzerland and offer you a job.
I guess we have to.
Wait, I have to know if you feel comfortable saying, what did you lose?
Oh, I have no fucking idea. Every time I do one of these, I just like say one sentence and then it just like takes me down a deep rabbit hole and I go into a fugue state and my eyes roll into the back of my head and I have no idea what I said when it's over.
Your honesty, I was like, you absolutely lost something. That's really incredible.
Fully an algorithm at this point, yeah.
Really, truly impressed. That was Sandra O level.
It's like
work.
I conjure a deep need and an emotion, and it actually is cathartic. But then it ends, and I have no idea what happened, and I'm scared.
That is so familiar.
I get possessed. Yeah,
absolutely. The Shonda Rhimes just inhabits
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she does.
You know,
the spirit. Oh my gosh! Thank you so much for doing this podcast. This was so much
you
fun
for having me.
We had a time to talk about Burke. What an important character!
Don't sleep on Burke, people.
Where can people find you? Mailing. Okay.
I would say, I guess, Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
My handle is Christress, like distress, but with a Chris, or mistress with a Chris. Those are the best places. I'm doing some shows coming up. I've one at Club Coming. Maybe, I don't know when this is airing, but...
This coming Monday.
Oh, perfect. Saturday, May 11th, hosting a comedy show to benefit the AIDS Walk.
Hell yeah.
At Club Coming, Saturday, May 11th at 8 p.m. And yeah, slide into my DMs because I am open. I'm free, a la Christina Yang.
Oh,
no
perfect man
will ever
thank
hold
you
me
so
down.
Much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. If you liked it, I really hope that you smash that subscribe button to borrow a phrase from the YouTube community.
Smash it.
Yeah. And if you don't mind leaving a nice rating and review, that would mean a lot to me. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at NSilverberg. If you have any thoughts about Grey's, I think I'm going to start kind of integrating things that you guys tweet at me. So if there's anything particular that you want want us to talk about or questions that you have for potential guests, just tweet at N Silverberg, and at the top of episodes we'll get into it. Okay, thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.